Turn to each other and say, unexpected blessing is coming your way. I heard the follow-up phrase, oh, I hope so. Now I want you to say it with belief. Turn to each other again and say it one more time. Unexpected blessing is coming your way. Now look at each other and declare, I receive it. I receive it. You can either refuse the presence of God because He doesn't always do what is convenient or what's expected. He does sometimes what we don't expect. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
And you can cooperate with His next steps for your life and watch Him unfold your opportunity, your miracle, and very possibly the desire of your own heart, and sometimes the desire you weren't even aware was there. Listen to the scripture, Psalm 37. You don't have to turn to it. I'm going to put it on the overhead, but I want to set the framework for where we're going to go this morning. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4, a couple of my favorite verses in the scriptures. And what I have there is actually not New King James. This is the NLT, New Living Translation, and then I'll read it out of New King James as well. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Out of the New King James, and it's not on there, Pat. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. How many need to feed more on the faithfulness of God and less on the voice of condemnation? Less on the voice of shame. Less on the voice that the enemy wants to throw our way, which is a condemning, accusing kind of voice. What we need to do is feed on the promises and the faithfulness of God. Exactly as Pastor Sherry was talking about it this morning. Fantastic. Delight yourselves also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now that word in the Hebrew, the word delight, is the Hebrew word anag. Not eggnog, but anag. And it means to be soft or pliable. And what the meaning really is, and the intent of the scripture is, be soft, be pliable, be tender-hearted before the Lord, moldable, allow the master potter to make you in exactly the way He wants to, and you will find great delight in the Lord as you yield to Him. Hasn't that been true in your life? Sometimes the Lord thinks, twists and turns and pushes you here, and oh, that's uncomfortable. And He looks at you and says, honey, it's only uncomfortable because you won't give there. But when we let Him do what He wants to do and flow with Him, we find that He really is our treasure and He really is our delight. And the steps He wants us to walk are good steps. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. This is out of the New King James. Most of the text time I use the New King James, but I like to identify which one it is for you anyway. Verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man, also implied woman, the steps of a good person, of a good man and woman, are ordered by the Lord. They are what? What's the word?
Ordered
by the Lord. And He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with His hands. Do you know this morning that you are upheld by the Master's hands? Look at this out of the message. Stalwart walks in step with God. His path blazed by God. He's happy. If he stumbles, he's not down for long. God has a grip on His hand. Now, when my kids were little, I don't know about you, many of you are parents or grandparents in this room. When my kids were little, I would make a big deal out of taking them by the hand, and if they stumbled, I'd hold them, and then I'd say, aren't you glad Dad had your hand? Yes, Daddy. As I taught them, that's how God holds on to us. God has us in the grip of His hand. God's got His grip on you today. Sometimes you feel that way. but God's got His grip on us. Let's watch what He unfolds in your life. Let's watch even when you least expect it. Turn to 2 Samuel now, and I'm going to begin reading in verses 1 through 12. This is a fantastic passage of section of Scripture, but it's really rich with meaning and takes some twists and turns that are fairly unexpected. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. Again, I'm reading from the New King James. Now I'm on verse 3. So they set the Ark of God on a, say it with me, please. How many understand trouble's coming? The Scripture said in Exodus, and it said in Numbers, that the Ark of God was to be borne on the shoulders of the priests. There were poles through golden rings on the side of the Ark, and the priests were to carry the Ark on their shoulders. The Ark represents, of course, the presence of God. And the presence of God is to be borne in the hearts and the shoulders and the very personal lives of His people. The Bible says we are kings and priests. That's where crowns come from. Very biblical prophecy this morning. And of course, you tie in with New Testament, the book of Revelation, as you cast your crowns before Him. But the Ark is to be carried and borne on the shoulders of the priests. So they're full of intent. They're full of precious meaning and desire for the Ark of God. But they build a new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab. You know, as a little phrase, I have a habit. I was in broadcasting for 35 years, and whenever anybody in broadcasting makes a mistake, that's what you'll hear them say. Such and such and such, rather, such and such. And so I've got a habit, and so when you hear me do that, unless I get caught in some circular thing, which might happen as I'm getting to be a senior citizen. It should rather be this. So they set the Ark of God on the new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. And I have to say one other thing. I'm not a senior yet. See, that was just burdening me as I carried on in the Scripture. I'm not there. Is anybody in this room a senior? No hands in the place. You see that? All right. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments. Do you think this was a fun time? I mean, it's powerful, wasn't it? All sorts of instruments made of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, or held it, for the oxen stumbled. Now, if it hadn't been on a new cart, do you think that would have stumbled? If it had been borne on their shoulders, bumps in the road can be more easily taken when you do God's thing, God's way. Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And if you find the text in its meaning, it literally means for his irreverence. And he died there by the Ark of God. That'll kill any party. There's a buzzkill. Today's phrase. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day, which means outburst against Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day. I ain't a kidding. Wouldn't you think you would be afraid? He was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the Ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the Ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. I love this next part. Watch. But David took it aside into the house of, say the next name with me. How do you pronounce it? Obed-Edom. We've always pronounced it Obed-Edom. I've got a new pronunciation for you this morning. Proper pronunciation, but we'll probably always all slip back into Obed-Edom. This is how it looks. But Obed-Edom. So the Ark goes into his house, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. How long?
3 months.
Not long.
3 months.
3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, that name is actually pronounced Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom. Can you say that with me? Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom. I obeyed Edom. It sounds like that. It's one way to remember it. Obed-Edom. So the ark is in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, I love this, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with, say it with me the word, gladness. You know, this whole story here, this man, Obed-Edom, reminds me of Simon of Cyrene, who carried a cross for Jesus. He was just a man, minding his own business, but he was a man in God's grip. Let's talk some about the background. Let's worship God and bring him home with us. How many want the ark of God in your home?
Yes.
Every hand in the place should be up. I want the ark of God in my home, my heart, and in my home.
Yes.
Only God is in charge. And he says, Kevin, you can fill in your name. I want to be worshipped my way. And that way is according to the
Bible.
Here's our primary text, the foundational text. This is it. You want to know how to run your car? There's a what in the glove box? An owner's manual. This is the owner's manual. Who's the owner? Who's the loaner? We are. So if you wonder, God, what do you want me to do? It's not just do what's right in our own eyes, which was a particular affliction in the Old Testament, and also in the New, and also today. Jesus, I want to live this your way. And everybody said,
Amen.
It doesn't matter how loud the music is. Doesn't matter how nice it sounds, how nicely it's prepared. If it's not God's way with his breath upon people with hearts prepared, then it's not going to be blessed. Have you ever, we won't go there, but look at what he does. For 100 years in the Old Testament history here, for 100 years, this ark has been separated from the tabernacle. It was taken by the Philistines and is gone from Israel for 7 months, if you recall the scripture. Then it is returned and it's ultimately held in Kirjath-Jearim for a long, long time. So they still have worship, priesthood, sacrifices, but the ark's not there. How many want to go to church if God's not there? How many want to go to church where God is? I want to be in what you're doing, Lord. David's a worshiper. And King David longs for the presence of God. And in his heart, there's beating a passionate desire. I want your presence. It's time to bring the ark home. David's got in his heart a vision for an open tent where the ark of God can be. It's called the Tabernacle of David, if you read about it in your scriptures. A precious study. In fact, many of us at our book club, we're doing a book by Graham Truscott, Dr. Graham Truscott, called The Power of His Presence. And it's about the restoration of the Tabernacle of David. You go to the book of Acts in chapter 15, and it says, the restoration of David's tabernacle will be what God does in the last days. But it's an open tent where the ark could be and people could come and presence in his presence and worship and sing and rejoice and play instruments and 24 hours a day worship. And David longs for the presence of God. The ark needs to come home. A place where God and man can be together. So he erects this tent. The separations are gone. There's room for the ark. And there's room for us. But David forgot to bring it back God's way. So he erects a new cart, probably, knowing David as you read his testimony, probably the finest woods. If you want to know about fine woods, at the very least, there's several in the room, but talk to Royal. Royal can tell you about really fine woods. Pastor Carl, other craftsmen in the room, they'll tell you about wood, and they can talk about it, and it's a reverential thing. Not a worship thing in a weird way, but appreciating the God who made it. It's a beautiful thing. I'll bet David didn't spare any cost at making this glorious cart. It just wasn't God's way. And Uzzah, the Bible really says he was a reverend. He shoves his hand out to hold on to this ark that's teetering. This thing that they're propping up has got to be kept propped up. God can't handle it himself after all. How many know God needs you if he's going to get anything done? How many know God wants to use you? God chooses to move through people. Sure, he needs us because he wants to need us. Rather, that was a joke, but you didn't get it. God uses us, but we've got to do it his way, respecting him. We can't just build our thing. So there's got to be a right heart, right desire, right celebration, and right way. Exodus 25 and Numbers 4, again, we've talked about that. The result of this incident with Uzzah is David is terrified of God. How many understand it's not wrong to have a proper and appropriate fear of God? One of the things that is missing in our nation, I dare say, is an appropriate fear of God. With the fear of the Lord is the beginning of... There should be an appropriate love, passionate love, and an appropriate fear. I don't want to do the wrong thing because I love the Lord. I also don't want judgment. Anybody else in this room say that? I don't want judgment. I want to please him. Let's talk about the man. Obeyed Adom. He was a Levite of the family of the Korathites, and belonging to a class of gatekeepers, the Bible says. He was a Gittite, or called a Gethite, from his birthplace, which was the Levitical city of Gath-Rimmon in the tribe of Dan. And after the death of Uzzah, the ark, which was being borne on a new cart, goes aside. It was being brought from the house of Abinadab in Gibeah to the city of David, and it was carried aside into Obed-Edom. In that house, where it stayed for 3 months, in which time this man was fantastically prospered. Then it was brought, again I'm just rehearsing, brought from that place by David, about 986 B.C., from the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and Obed-Edom was then anointed and appointed to play with instruments before the Lord, and is most likely the same man who was involved in worship in 1 Chronicles chapter 26. He's a servant. He's a worshiper. Again, like Simon of Cyrene. Pressed into service. And this man was a worshiper. Now, just appreciate this for a moment. I'm not going to waste a lot of time on this, but we don't read a lot about this man's pedigree. We don't read about priest Obed-Edom. We don't read about the man who was in the lineage of all the kings. And we don't read about him being revered in all the earth. We read about a worshiper. A simple man. Right place, right time, right heart. Just a man ready to worship. I want to ask you a question. And each of you can respond affirmatively. When you woke up this morning, was it in your heart to go to church? Simple decision. In fact, some of you, that was such a simple decision, it wasn't even a decision. Your decision's already made. Now, can you miss church every now and then? Well, of course. I'm not talking about legalistic perspective. But there's something deep inside in my heart that says, I got to go to church. I'm the pastor. No, that says, I want to go to church. I want to be involved in what God's doing. I want to be there. I don't want to miss out on what God's doing. I wonder what's going to happen today. That's been burning in my heart for a long time. Kind of like a stuck record. What do you do on Sunday mornings? I'm in church. I'm part of the church. Because even if we were meeting out in the field this morning, the church would still be gathered. But church is not just an optional add-on to my life. It's crucial. It's important. God's going to do something. And I want to be there. Turn to each other and say, I want to be there, don't you? Maybe it was nothing special in your decision this morning, but there was a gratefulness to be alive on this glorious new day in paradise and a purposeful intent of heart that struck your spirit and said, oh, what day is this? Oh, it's Sunday. Time to go to church. You didn't know how you would be blessed today. Outside of the fact it's just a blessing to get up and be breathing and get up and go. It's your habit. And you're here this morning. God bless you. Do you know that in our society, one of the things that's wrong with America is that church has become optional? I do what's right in my eyes instead of understanding the Bible says, gather together in the presence of the Lord. Obed-Edom's life, listen to this, was changed forever because he just showed up. We don't read that he took a course and took 4 years of training to know how to bring the ark home to his house. He just showed up as a faithful worshiper. And God said, I'm coming to your house today. Jesus is walking up under a tree and he says, you know, I see you, don't you, Zacchaeus? I'm coming home to your house today. Just showed up. 3 months. Wasn't in his home for long. But it changed him forever. It only takes a moment in the presence of Jesus to change your life. Want to be blessed? To show up. Do your part. And show up. I'm going to church. I'm coming. Well, Pastor Kev, I have to be out of town. Oh, that's okay. No problem. I'm not saying you can never be out of town. You can never miss a sermon. I'm not saying that. But there's something inside. What's going to happen today? I'm just going to be faithful to you, Jesus, just like Obed-Edom, and I'm going to show up. I was glad when they said unto me, Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said, come on, let's go to church, honey. Hop in the car, grab the kids. What was the old Neil Diamond song? That'll give you the era that I was. Pack up the babies and grab the old ladies and everyone goes. Traveling Salvation Show. Yeah. That's kind of a 60s version of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said, grab the old ladies and pack up the babies and let's go. Let's go. Look what happened. Look what happened. Let's talk about the blessing. Talked about the man. Talked about his decision to show up. Let's talk about the blessing. Very simply, this man was, what's the word? Blessed. What does that mean? Blessing and benefits. Overwhelming benefits. Now listen to this. From the JewishEncyclopedia.com, so you can find it if you wanted to see it. The biblical data behind this is this was a Gittite to whose house the ark was taken when it was removed from Abinadab's house in Gibeah. It remained in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months before it was carried into the city of David. Now, when Obed-Edom is mentioned together with the Levites, it's concluded that he himself was a Levite. His name is interpreted this way. Obed, which means the servant who honors God in the right way. And Edom, which means red, which in the Hebrew, it's a picturesque language, means one who is caused to blush. God made David blush for shame because at first, he did it the wrong way and then was afraid to receive the ark. But Obed-Edom gladly received the ark into his house. You know, some people could look from the side and say, that's kind of like saying, yeah, I'll take that nuclear bomb to my house, sure. But he loved God. He said, the ark? My house? Okay. Isn't that how our attitude should be? The ark? You bet. My house. Now, during that time, it's said that he lit a candle twice daily, early in the morning and again at night when he was praying at the ark. And here, there are commentators which tell us, here's what the blessing meant. This is pretty delightful. The blessing of Obed-Edom means he had a bunch of daughters and family members, and in that three-month period, 6 to 8 kids were born. Now, I know you go back 9 months and you just know that God's in charge of the timing. But in the Hebrew culture, those births were considered the blessing of God. And so all of a sudden, this man Obed-Edom has a football team at his house. And can you imagine? This is the blessing of God. This is the mark of God's presence. 1 week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, 3 weeks, there's a month, there's 2 months. And boy, can you imagine the stories going back to David? David, listen, this guy, you put the ark over there. You were terrified, but I got to tell you, this man's being blessed. What do you mean this man's being blessed? He's having kids. And they're all over the place. And he probably struck oil. It's Middle East, after all. Anyway, this guy's really being blessed. And David's going, what do you mean he's being blessed? And the reports keep coming in. Another kid, Dave, another kid. And more blessing, and more blessing, and more blessing. And finally David said, wait a minute, that's my blessing. What's he doing with that ark anyway? And all of a sudden, he's seeing the blessing of God. And he says, you know, let's go get the ark. I want the ark of God in my life. I want to be blessed like he's being blessed. Oh God, I want your presence in my life so much. Come to my home. Come on, gang. Let's go get the ark. All right, Dave, I ain't walking out on that field with you, though, again, unless you learn how to do it the right way. No more buzzkill on this, okay? No more Uzziah kill or Uzzah kill. Yeah, not buzzkill, Uzzah kill. So the blessing of God was demonstrated in tangible fruitfulness in his life. The ark of God stayed there 3 months. He had a desire for the Lord, but look at what happened in his life. Obed-Edom became a worship leader, a musician, and a doorkeeper before the ark of God. Desire and love for God and saying yes and showing up changed him forever, and God begins to bless and promote. He became a worship leader, and he's mentioned along with Asaph, the chief musician in the Old Testament. Obed-Edom and his 68 associates minister regularly before the Lord, and he continues still to keep the gates for security and safety and family responsibility. He's not only blessed in relationship and ministry before the Lord, but his family is blessed over and over, and his sons and his grandkids worship the Lord, and they're blessed by the Lord, and they were all leaders and capable men with strength to do the work. And it turns out in his lineage there were 62 of them in all. And he did his part as he was put in charge of the south gate, and his sons were keepers of the storehouse, and his faith and his attitude and his hunger and his faithfulness to just show up and be in the house of God and to say, yes, come on, bring the ark to my house, bless this man forever, and lined up his family for blessing after blessing after blessing. This man played a part in the presence of God. What can we learn from this? A few lessons. Number one, show up. Every time you can be in church. Come on, Pastor. Are you serious? Come on, this is the 21st century. This is 2009. And we need him more than ever, don't we? Not just an old-fashioned decision. I said we need him more than ever, don't we? Hebrews 10, verse 25, take a look at the scripture. I have it in 3 versions, New King James. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's another version here out of the NIV. Let us not give up meeting together. Isn't that cool? That speaks to us, doesn't it? Come on, don't get weary in well-doing. Sometimes we do. I joked about it a little while ago, but you think the pastor really always wants to be in church? Okay, most of the time, I'll tell you. Most of the time, okay? It's like the guy, his mom wakes him up, he's laying in bed, he pulls the sheets over his head, and mom says, get up, it's time to get up. I don't want to get up. You got to go to school. I don't want to go to school. You got to go to school. I don't want to go to school. You have to go to school. You're the principal. This is real, folks. This is where the rubber hits the road. Come on. Come on. I know you're discouraged sometimes, and I know that yesterday was tough, and I know you don't feel so well, but come on, let's go to God's house together. Come, let us go to the house of the Lord. We'll learn of His ways, and He'll write His word on our hearts and in our minds. And come on, come on, even if you don't feel it, He'll make you more like Him today. And He'll send you home with blessing. Come on, let's encourage one another, and all the more. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. Listen, the day is approaching. How many think it's not just approaching? We're in the last days, folks. And so as that day approaches, we need to be turning to each other more. See, I'm a kind of excited guy, and so I try to really use wisdom sometimes when I know people that I love aren't always doing well and they don't come. Well, there's a delicate blend. I could call them every week and say, you're going to be there. Or I could just let them know I love them and call them every now and then. Or some people feel bugged if you call them at all. I'm not trying to bug anybody, but this is what's working. So much the more as you see the day approach. Come on, let's not lose our opportunity. Let's go grow in God together. Turn to each other and say, let's do that. Let's grow in God together. And the next verse out of the Message. Watch this. This is great. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Let's just come up with some ways we can bless each other some more. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially... Say the rest of it with me. As we see the big day approaching, show up. Secondly, welcome the ark. Again, Obed-Edom said yes. Simple message this morning. Simple decision. Difficult time. Uzzah had just been struck down by the Lord. Do you think God, does God always make sense to you? David was furious and he was fearful and you could kind of see it. Here, you take the ark. Oh no, you take the ark. No, you take the ark. And Obed-Edom said, I'll take the ark. This is bad news. I don't want this situation on my hands. Doesn't look good. Doesn't sound good. Your life ever been like that? Sometimes funny twists and turns and blessings sometimes come in funny packages, and sometimes it looks different than we expect. Thousands of people are gathered out on the lawn listening to Jesus, and somebody comes up with a bright idea. It's hot out here. We've been here a while. Anybody got lunch? They say, well, there's a little boy's lunch. And because some mom packed a little kid's lunch, he blessed it and broke it and fed thousands. Joseph was sold into slavery and saved a generation. God used him to bless and save those in the world and those really of the church of that day, of Israel. Natural and spiritual, a fruitful man. Look at Genesis 50. Watch this. Listen to the attitude of heart. Show up and welcome the ark. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, as he revealed himself to his brothers, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for, say it with me please, good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Out of the Message. Joseph replied, don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good. As you see all around you right now, life for many people. Welcome the presence of God. When you walk with Him and trust Him, you can believe that what He does is for your very, very best. We see it sometimes, and I've been there. I'm not just preaching from something I read in someone's book. Sometimes life is devastating. And yet, God still got you in the grip of His hand. He's still good. And he's still God. Turn to each other. Say it. He's still good. And he's still God. Show up. Welcome the ark. A little point here for number three as we're drawing personal conclusions. Just a little point. Remember, the blessing is from him. It's his blessing. Because sometimes when the blessing shows up and we're living in the favor land, we forget the trauma time. And we forget, I didn't do anything to deserve this. I just showed up. Remember, it's not earned or deserved. It's the grace of God. The winds come. The winds blow. The rain falls. But God is still the blesser. Show up. Welcome the ark. Remember the blessing is his and it comes from him. And fourth, just let the fruit show. Let the fruit show and let the fruit glow. Obed-Edom didn't have to broadcast the blessing. He didn't have to take out a page ad in the paper saying, look at me, I'm blessed. I'm having kids. Everybody in town knew he was having kids and his family's having kids. People standing by saw the glow of the presence of God in his life. You ever notice that? I heard it just even this morning. Royal and Sue were commenting to Pastor Sherry from our time in worship on Wednesday night. You're all invited every Wednesday night, by the way, at Pastor Sherry's house. Oh, yes, Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry's house. I said that because that's how he says it. At Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry's house at 6:30. But we had a time of worship, and Royal said, God really spoke to her yesterday and some powerful things. And Royal said, well, I knew you were getting that word early on Wednesday because you glowed. Have you ever seen that in each other's lives? Turn to each other right now, smile real big, and say, you glow. And David hears the testimony, and David says, wait a minute, it's my turn now. I guess God's good after all. I repent, Lord, from trying to bring the ark home in the wrong way. I repent of doing it my way. When what you're really after all along is I need to do it your way. 16 years. However long in your own life. The dealing of God comes along with the joy. And at the bottom line of every dealing, Lord, what are you doing now? He says, Kev, I'm teaching you that I'm in control. You taught me that 16 years ago. He says, yeah, but you keep giving up on the lesson. I keep needing to teach you over again, honey, because I love you. Lord, I want to bring the ark of God home your way. How do you want it? I'm just going to show up. It keeps showing up. You know, sometimes we're just blessed because at the end we survived it. We just kept showing up. And I'm going to keep saying yes to the opportunity and the presence of God. Because I want his ark. I know there may be trouble. And don't you know that Christians do weird things? Some do. Don't you know non-Christians do a lot of weird things? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't you know there may be trouble somewhere around the world, but God's still good and I still love him and he still loves me. And I just can't shake it. I just want his ark. Remember the blessing's his, because times will be good again. But if it's tough now, hang on. He's got a hold of you and me. Show up. Welcome the ark. Remember the blessing is his. And just let the fruit show. You can't help it when you fall in love with Jesus. Just a couple more thoughts and I'm done. You got to remember that even in the midst of the good time, something usually happens to pop the bubble. Ever notice that? Ever just been flying high? God's answered every prayer. Work is fantastic. And then you get home and somebody in the household, I won't say who, looks at you and goes, I told you to take out the garbage. Wait a minute, I'm anointed. Don't bug me now. We live real life. We live real life. And come on, don't look so holy at me, isn't it? Isn't that real? Come on. There have been times of powerful anointing in the presence of the Lord, and all of a sudden something happens where if you had your trust in the bubble of excitement and glow, it would burst and you would be down again. But the reality is, our trust is in Him. David ran into the same thing. Because on this experience, they really did bring that ark home with fantastic anointing. You go on to read the rest of that scripture. In fact, if you're in 2 Samuel 6, we'll read three other verses, starting in verse 13. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. Look at the anointing on this service. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go back up to verse 12 again. Just tie it in. It was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Verse 13. So it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David did what? Say it with me. Danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting with the sound of the trumpet. He did it right. Every 6 paces. It took a long time to get home. That was a long service. Pastor Kev, my roast is burnt at home now. But I don't care. I'm enjoying Jesus. Sometimes that bursting experience pops the bubble and somebody looks and says when you get home or down the street, oh, did you go to that church again this morning? They raise hands there. They sing those crazy songs. You know, Pastor Kevin playing that wild rock and roll. You know, that wild stuff. Don't you know there's a guy playing harmonica in church? One of Pastor Kelly's bad band buddies. There's gifts of the Spirit. That's what they call it. You got a weird place again? Yeah, I went and got blessed. And enjoyed the presence of Jesus. You think you're hot stuff, huh? No, but I sure think God is. And I go to church, and I want you to go with me so you can experience His presence too. But David and his own family, we read the next verse, verse 16, had a wife. And there was a lot of trauma in this relationship, but look at how it went. The ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window, saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. The end of the story is she came and she accused him of being shameless. And he said, look, God's chosen me, and all I can do is worship Him. She died fruitless at the end of her life. And we know David went up and down and over around, but came out as the man after God's own heart. Blessing. Obed-Edom's surprise became his greatest blessing in life. Let's let our choice today be yes. Yes, Lord, I'll show up. Yes, Lord, I'll receive your ark. Yes, Lord, I'll remember the blessing is yours. Yes, Lord, I'll let the fruit show. Going to church is worth it, isn't it? It's a phrase we have around here. Loving Jesus, loving each other. Just a little phrase based on the first and second commandments. The cry of our hearts and spirits It's to be like you. It's to recognize it is your hand moving in our lives, even when we don't at first recognize the incidents as a blessing. Lord Jesus, we're surrendered to you. And we know that what you want to do is transform us to be more like you than ever before. Our thinking, our heart attitudes, we're not playing games. We know this is the real stuff, real Christianity. And we want to live it your way. Oh Lord, take your liberty, won't you? We surrender in a fresh way to you in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart, maybe you've never actually surrendered your life to Him, I urge you, let this be the day you do. Don't die and not face Jesus in eternity because you wouldn't pray a 60-second prayer. Surrender your life to Jesus. It goes like this. Let's all pray it together. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I know that you are the Lord and Savior. And I give my whole life to you. I repent of my sins from being a sinner. Wash me clean by your blood. And come and live in my heart forever. Take over my life. Right now by faith, I receive your forgiveness. And I receive you as my Lord. Lord, we know it's not just a quick prayer. It's a surrendered life. And we thank you for the privilege of being accepted by you. If you've prayed that prayer, come up and let me know afterwards. And we can pray together and talk for a few minutes. If you need prayer for healing in your bodies, we believe the Lord does exactly that. He loves to heal. Let Him do so for you. This week, God's going to bless you. Expect an unexpected blessing. He's coming to you. And I believe He's already done so today. Amen.